welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales.
All right, well, we will jump back to last week here real brief. So you guys started out pretty slow, but you guys fought there till the very end with a depleted roster. So just what was the biggest takeaway from the loss last week?
That we're, you know, we're not a team that's gonna lay down, fold. We're gonna try to work on handling adversity, and we're gonna fight for 60 minutes. And you know, that's how you play football games, and that's how you get better each and every week.
So we talked about injuries quite a bit, but it seems like you guys are getting some key guys back this week. Nathan Valencia's back, Samuel Ngoli's back, Alejandro Flores is back. So just what do you think getting these guys back can bring to the offense?
I think it helps. I think it helps complete the set, so to speak. Getting these guys back will put in, you know, 1,000 hours of work, helping with the consistency of the offense. And defense, it helps. It helps us have a little bit more confidence in what we're doing, and helps be able to compete at this level.
So moving into this week, you guys get Nebraska Kearney here. We were just talking about how they run a triple option offense. So just with a young defense and a young team, just how difficult would you say it is, just eye discipline and stuff like that, with an offense like Nebraska Kearney to game plan for?
Well, you know. What they're doing, what they do offensively, it's going to look to the naked eye like triple option. There are some facets of the triple option in there, but they do several other things, you know, within that. It's not the old school triple; it's the new school triple. So they're going to have some power schemes with an option component. They're going, you know, run some zone option. They do a little bit of it all. You know, first level, second level reads. And it's going to take a tremendous amount of eye discipline for us, you know, to be competitive. So if we can't keep our eye on the prize, it's going to be a tough ball game.
And then it's on the other side of the ball. It's another tough defense that you guys are facing. So just what's the game plan to attack their defense?
We have to be fundamentally sound, and we have to minimize turnovers. If we could take bad plays off the table, we'll have a chance. I think it's going to be more of a field position type game for us. You know, anytime you're within the nature of what they do, you know, if you have to make them, if you make them drive long fields, it plays into your hand a little bit.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Jermaine Gales. Trevor, I don't think last week was any surprise. We saw Pitt State move to 7-0. We saw the Blue Tigers drop to 0-7. 49-10 seems a little bit closer than maybe I would have thought it would have been. So I'll just ask you, as someone who was there, how'd the game seem to you?
I think the final score is actually a little bit closer than the game was, because Lincoln scored a touchdown in the final minute.
Okay.
They did have some opportunities they did not convert on early in the game, which led to the 28-3 halftime deficit and Pitt State getting their second and third stringers in the game in the second half. But, I mean, it was a really simple game plan. There was a lot of injuries, only one quarterback on the roster, so you're doing your absolute best with a banged-up offensive line to protect him and make sure he doesn't have to go out. We saw a little bit of Damon Bell in a wildcat quarterback situation. He threw a pass that was almost a touchdown. It was a drop. Gale said it should have gone to somebody else, but you know, he still put the pass pretty close. But yeah, I mean, for the hand they were dealt, they played fine. Nobody really expected them to, even at full strength, to win that game.
Sure.
But when you're dealing with 32 injuries and multiple offensive starters being out, it was not in the cards for them to really compete in that game.
So I'm a big fan of box scores. I've always loved reading them. I've always loved kind of diving inside them. So just a couple things that stood out to me from the standpoint of that game was, yeah, sure, you give up almost 400 or 500 yards of offense to Pitt State. But I think the heartening thing is, I mean, Lincoln had 285 yards of offense, which I think, again, if you told me going into the game they're going to have that many yards against a Pitt State team that's as good as Pitt State is, I would have said that's a good thing coming out of that one. So and I know we've maligned them a lot when they've, you know, only averaged about a yard per rush this year. They averaged 3 last week. So again, baby steps. Let's try to find some silver linings. I think those were 2 of them, especially when I figure going into that game with only 1 quarterback and kind of worried about getting him through it. I got a funny feeling that you were probably thinking, okay, you know, them trying to run the ball was not going to come as a surprise to Pitt State. So the fact that you were still able to have some success doing it is pretty good from that standpoint.
Yeah, and it's one of their best games running the football a year, and they moved the ball pretty well for a majority of the game. They had a couple fourth down decisions that I didn't necessarily agree with and kind of came back to bite them. They punted it away on their first drive on a 4th-and-1 at around midfield, and then they went for it 4th-and-1 inside the 10 and didn't get it. So there's 2 possessions that could have gone differently that could have converted some points for them. But, yeah, running the football was a pretty good success last week. We saw Zamar Brake run the ball more than we've seen him so far this year. They did a lot of read options with him, which kind of surprised me considering that they wanted to keep him healthy. And Dwan Lomax put together a few good runs. He had, I think, a 28-yard carry on the first drive, somewhere around there. He had 2 or 3 20-plus yard carries. And we haven't really seen chunk gains in the running game for the Lincoln so far this year. It's been a lot of 2-3 yards at a time and then gets stuffed for negative 2 or 3 yards. And that's kind of equaled out to about the 1 yard per carry thing we've seen so far this year. So, yeah, getting 3 yards per carry against probably the best team in the conference is quite the surprise and definitely a positive.
Yeah, and again, it's worth noting that that's a team that's now ranked 5th in the nation. You know, they're clearly the class of the conference this year. There's still some games to be played, so we'll see how that plays out. But again, you know, they're 7-0, they're rolling, and in some respects this might have been one of the better conference games you've played yet this year. So I think that has to be heartening given all the adversity they dealt with last week, that's, you know, that's going to be something that they can maybe hang their hat on. Now the problem is like we've talked about a lot of times with this league, is you're not, I mean, yes, you get a home game this week, 2:00 today, Dwight T. Reed Stadium. But it's, you know, you're hosting a Nebraska Kearney team that comes in at 5-2. So it's not like you get a week off and you go, chance to exhale. We can relax a little bit. Maybe try to build on what we did last week. You're going to get another stern test today.
Yeah, and credit to Lincoln. They keep battling for the whole game. They never give up, which I find very commendable.
Sure.
Because it would be very easy to give up in a season like this. And, I mean, I guess on the positive aspect, Nebraska Kearney isn't coming in off a win against Northwest. So,
right.
So that's a huge positive.
That's been happening a lot.
They are coming in off a loss to Emporia State, but it is a really good team. It's a triple option attack, which brings a boatload of problems because you don't really see that in college football hardly ever anymore. And it's more the new style triple option offense. It's not as simple as, say, 30, 40 years ago what a triple option would look like. So there's some different things they like to do, but Gales did mention that this has been an extremely difficult team to have a scout team kind of emulate and just game plan for, because it is a lot different than all these kids have seen in quite some time. So it's a whole new set of problems that are coming in, and it's another really good defense that the Lopers have.
So I guess my first question for you about this game is, how's Lincoln's health heading into it? Because, again, that was a big concern last week. I don't imagine it's probably gotten any better after playing what was then the number 7 team in the nation, and now it's the number 5 team in the nation. I imagine they probably pounded on them pretty good last week. So how did they come out of last week, Arnett? How are they heading into this one today?
So there was 32 injured players for last week's game. There are 31 injured players this week.
That's a little better.
But it looks a lot better because they get Nathan Valencia, who has started a few games at quarterback this year. He will be the backup today, but he is expected to play. He's back. Starting tight end Samuel Ngoli, who's been probably their second most effective pass catcher so far this year. He's back. Starting left tackle Alejandro Flores is back. So that's huge. And then on the defensive line, they get Jakari Larmon back. So that's 4 key starters.
Okay.
I guess Valencia is going to be a backup today. So 3 key starters and another key player that are going to be back for the game today. So the injury numbers are about the same, but I would say the overall effectiveness of the injured players is down from last week. So that's a positive.
Okay. You know, we haven't talked about it a whole lot just because there hasn't been much of a point to, just based on where Lincoln's been at in the conference standings. But I do feel like, you know, we're now into the point of the season where a lot of, you know, I mean, they're still playing hard. They're still playing for things each week. But I think this is kind of one of those things where there's not a whole lot to play for other than pride for the Blue Tigers at this point. But I do feel like this is kind of, you know, there's some games left on their schedule where they can maybe play spoiler for some people who are based on, I don't think any, I feel like no one's going to catch Pitt State. I just feel like they're far and away the best team. But if you look at it, Nebraska Kearney is one of four teams that comes in this week, tied for second in the conference at 5-2. So I almost feel like this is going to be maybe their role kind of for some of these teams as we head down the stretch, based on who they have left, just looking at it and go, hey, let's maybe try to mess things up for some other people. You know, every game still has something we can play for, and this is a good week for them where they could go, you know what, Kearney's got intense on maybe finishing second in the conference. Let's try to keep that from happening.
Yeah, and a playoff berth is obviously up on the table for them as well, and it is getting to that point in the season where you might catch a team by surprise. The injuries have piled up, just overall fatigue. There's no bye weeks in this conference, so you're playing every single Saturday, and I mean, if you're an opposing MIAA team, you look at your schedule and you see Lincoln, you're going to Jeff City. It's like, okay, we can kind of relax a little bit this week. But a team that's, I guess frisky isn't necessarily the word I'd use, but they fight and they continue to fight, like this Lincoln team. If they play their best football and they don't turn the ball over and, you know, they limit big gains and maybe force a couple turnovers on defense, like, they could find themselves in one of these games. And we still haven't seen that yet, and I think that might happen once this year. So I don't know if that'll necessarily be today because this is a good team, but I mean, that is something to look out for. If you continue to keep your guys up for every single game and they put their best foot forward, they could come out, not necessarily come out on the right side, they might, but you could find yourself in a game and have one of these really good teams in the conference sweating a little bit.
So if there was one key today that makes it to the point where they do make the Loper sweat a little bit, what can they do against Kearney that maybe makes it a little more uncomfortable day today?
I mean, they have to limit the big gains in the running game for Nebraska Kearney because it's no secret that they're going to run the ball a lot more than they throw the ball. I don't think they've thrown the ball in a game more than 20 times this year. Their quarterback, TJ Davis, is explosive running the football, and they know that's a focal point. So you can't let him break loose and get 60 or 70 and go ahead and score a touchdown. That'd just be killer. And you gotta hold the ball on offense too. That's a major point that we talked about because this is an offense that's gonna wear down your defense.
Okay,
they're gonna run it at you over and over and over again. And by the time that fourth quarter hits, especially with the team that doesn't have the depth because of injuries right now, like Lincoln, you're gonna be wore out when the fourth quarter comes. So you have to hold the ball and keep them off the field and limit the amount of times that they can just run right at you and wear you down.
All right, I guess I'll put it to you bluntly: do they have a chance to pull an upset in this one?
I think they have a chance to be in this game. I don't necessarily think that they're going to come out on the right side of it. I do think this might be one of the closer scores we've seen at Dwight T. Reed Stadium at halftime at least. So I'll pick Nebraska Kearney to win 38-17.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.